Hey guys, it's Steven with UnashamedUnafraid.com, a blog unashamed about sexual addiction recovery and unafraid of coming unto Christ for healing. So this is actually our first group post, actually. I'm here with a group of I will call them super awesome men. Not only in recovery, but just in their life journey. And so I'm here with Lee. How are you doing, Lee?
Doing all right. Thanks for having me.
So Lee's coming from Layton. James is with us. He lives in Sandy, Utah. And Chris is here with us. Say hi, James, so everyone knows who James is.
Hey, this is James.
And this is Chris.
Okay, so as many of you know, on the resources page, I have the book Wild at Heart. If you've heard me speak or talk around that, that's one of the first things I bring up with people. So with that, there is this retreat, which I also advise everyone to go to. And so I've actually been wanting to do this post ever since I've started the blog. And what I really want to do is just help everyone kind of better understand it and kind of what the event is. So I have these guys here who have participated in it and now do some things to help facilitate that. And so I just kind of going to ask you guys some questions so you know everyone can get a better understanding of kind of what they're signing up for. So... how would you describe boot camp in, you know, one sentence?
In one sentence? learning how to battle for the hearts of those around you.
And yourself.
And yourself. And your own heart, for sure.
Yeah, I think, if I was to say, it would be a very, very personal journey.
Personal journey with God. And yourself?
I'd go with that.
Yeah. So my question is one question I have is this retreat about addiction?
No.
So my follow-up question to that is, which it's not, if you've read Wild at Heart, it's not a book about addiction. And so why is it valuable then for me as someone who struggles with sexual addiction to come to this? How do those two connect?
Well, I'll tell you why I went. I was also struggling with sexual addiction. And so I was at a place where I was really angry with God. So this kind of thing didn't really sound very appealing to me. But at the same time working on recovery and trying to change my lifestyle, you know, I had heard from somewhere that statistically, though, the men that don't really ever tap into their spirituality or a higher power or a God, that they typically will relapse or just fall back into their old ways if they don't start that journey. And something like 68 or 70% will fall back within 5 years of recovery if they don't include that spiritual aspect into their recovery lifestyle. So it requires, you know, recovery requires a well-rounded approach to life that includes physical, mental, you know, emotional, and spiritual growth and change.
100%.
So that's what I wanted to change enough that I wanted to start to work on that spiritual part of that journey, even though spiritually I was very angry at the time.
Sure. I got a follow-up question to that, but I'm going to go with Chris and Lee if you want to add to that. You know, yeah. Why would I come to this as an addict? It's not about addiction, so.
I actually came to it for, you know, it was actually a different experience for me because I also come from sexual addiction through my life and then was already.
And I'm going to make a connection here. This is Chris and Autumn, who have shared their story on our blog, so voice may sound familiar.
And so I came from that, and I had already started making changes in my life and wanted one more aspect or was looking for just another aspect of finding a connection with God because I didn't really have a relationship with God. I believed in God, and I went to church and, you know, just kind of running through the motions and stuff, but I didn't have an overall connection with God and was trying to figure out how can I find a way to connect to God on a daily basis and part of my dailies and wanted to figure that out. And so that was like, hey, I heard about this and heard it is about being the men that we're supposed to be. And I'm like, well, hey, I'm trying to make changes and trying to find a way to battle for my wife's heart. And so I'm like, hey, let's do this. And then my experience up there was just totally different than what I even expected.
And that's what we'll get into. But Lee, what?
So kind of following Chris in regards to being a different experience, I came up there actually after a good friend of mine said, you know, hey, you need to read Wild at Heart. My son had passed away in October of 2012, and I was just kind of lost. And I wasn't angry with God because I understood what happened. You know, I felt really connected with him, but that kind of took me away from the religious aspect of my life. And so I was kind of just in a weird spot, just kind of floating around, so to speak. So I came up to boot camp thinking, hey, you know, as a therapist professionally, I could really kind of see what kind of stuff I could use to help people. Not thinking that, hey, this would really help me. right. So there goes that whole pride and posing kind of thing that I've done forever. And having a history of, you know, substance abuse as well as sexual addiction in my background, the sexual addiction had been there and, you know, no one knew about it. But being there at camp actually really got me closer to God. Way more than I thought I could ever be. It gave a great connection to these amazing men that are here as on this podcast that I consider my brothers or my family. It's an amazing group of things you didn't expect. You come in there thinking, oh, we'll hear some people talk, but there's a whole lot more information and things about restoring your own heart.
So kind of looping that all together and going back to where you left off, James, is I think a lot of reason why people don't come to something like this is it's very different than what they've done before, right? Most people's God experience, church experience is a Bible study, church on Sunday, serving in church, you know, reading a book at home, praying by themselves, right? And so what about this experience? I mean, it's different. I think it's outside of most. I mean, it's outside your comfort zone the first time you went. Yes,
absolutely. Right.
And I think that's true for every single. I haven't had anyone who has come who's been like, I've done all sorts of stuff like this, super cool. And to, I mean, maybe there have been. I just haven't known any men who that would fit for.
So I actually believe that is probably the most important piece out of this whole thing. I know it sounds that's weird.
I'm bringing it up,
but being uncomfortable as people who have dealt with addiction or people who deal with any type of mental health issue, you know, usually it's fight or flight, right? So I'm either going to freak out and do something crazy or I just take off and don't want to be there. But the fact is, being at this camp does make you uncomfortable, but in a really good way, really healthy way. It forces you to confront lots of different things in your life, but especially confronting that relationship with God, right? What does it look like? This connection with the people around you, you get to see their experiences, stories.
So, and so tell me what you think, you know, value-wise there is, again, kind of trying to get over some stigmas I think there might be around this of, you know, why can't I just go camping by myself? People have spiritual experiences all the time camping by themselves. Doesn't cost anything, and I can go up there and grab my scriptures and go be with God, right? Or go with my family. And then also, it's 3 days, right? One of the first things I hear from people is, man, you know, I'd have to take time off work, or I'd have to. So it's enough time that it's life inconvenient, right? Yep. And why do I have to show up with everyone else? Why can't I just go have this experience on my own, right?
Well, doing it on your own, you won't shift any paradigms that you have already. You won't learn anything new if you go out on your own.
Because we've all tried to do so many things on our own. We tried to stop our addiction on our own. We tried to stop different things, and we tried to connect on our own, and it just hasn't worked. And so when you come to something like this, like he's talking about the paradigm shift, like something changes inside you when you're up there, and it is a whole new level of connection that I never thought I would ever achieve or even knew was available to, especially to me, because I felt like I didn't deserve God's love because of the stuff that I'd done through my whole life.
Well, and I think it forces us as men, and this is where, right, that whole idea of, right, being a man and through Wild at Heart, right, there's the manly man who just goes out and don't feel anything, suck it up, deal with it, shut up, yeah. Move on, right? Where I know that that's how I was brought up, and so having that direction, and then all of a sudden being in this place with all these amazing men who either wounded or in a great place in their life, right? Some are there looking forward just to get some new information and reconnect. It was like, wow, you know, people are, you know, being open emotionally talking about things.
So quick tangent, it's kind of a scatter event. Because I know that was like one fear when I came up the first time. I was like, I have no idea who's up here. So I don't know if this is 50 people who have done this 50 times and I'm going to be the like lone outsider. I don't know if this is going to be a bunch of guys. Because I went when I was really raw, very new into recovery, right, from my sexual addiction. And so I was like, is this going to be a bunch of guys who are like bleeding to death like me? Or is this going to be a bunch of people like Chris who are totally recovered and whatever? But it's a blend, right? Like it's a total blend of ages and background and, right?
We've had kids as young as 19. Up.
No, we've had, we actually had
17. 16. Okay. Up to how old? What, 84?
Yeah.
Yep.
84 or older, yeah.
So.
Do I need to worry about... I know one thing that's a fear for people always with addiction is if I sit in a room with other people, they might know who I actually am, right? I might be found out. I might. So I know people worry about not only just, you know, because sometimes you hear about stuff like this where you show up and you're kind of cornered into a disclosure. Like I remember showing up to youth activities as a kid and it was like, and now here's where we all bear testimony of Christ, go around in a circle. And I'm like, if you were struggling with your testimony of Christ, this could be a very awkward moment for you. So talk about that. The, you know, is there pressure for me to disclose anything about where I'm at, you know, and where I'm in my journey? And, you know, is there, you know, sales pitch? Is this a Tony Robbins event? Something like that, you know, where it's like, well, because I think sometimes people worry, you know, when it's kind of nondescript, you show up, it's like, is this, you know, kind of a cult thing where, you know, they're going to be like, now we're jumping off cliffs, get wild. And it's like, I'm uncomfortable with that. And, or now we're all going to disclose our deepest issues. And it's like, oh, I'm not really ready to do that. So tell me about your experience when you first went up with that and how that kind of happens.
I mean, for me, right, so the first two times are kind of like my first time together just because there was such a difference between that part of my life. Right, the first time I went up was just me really kind of sitting back and being quiet and just really kind of looking around thinking, oh, you know, just taking it in, pretending to be something. But I was able to start opening up to some of the guys that were in the bunkhouse with. And that was one of the first times where I was truly actually able to be open with someone about what was really going on in my life. And it was because they shared an experience. And that just got the ball rolling, not because they said I had to. It was just like, oh, yeah, hey, where are you from? And just kind of talking about what's going on. And
the staff doesn't even say, hey, guys, you need to share your story with anybody. It's not about that. This is just all just conversation that they're having as they're talking with other guys that are there. And
they expressly say, you know, you don't have to say anything to anybody about anything. Yeah. They just encourage you to talk to God about some of that stuff. But... You're nothing up there is forced on you. There's no, you know, surprise multi-level marketing pitch at the end or something weird.
There's
like,
no weird.
We won't let you leave till you buy a cabin up here.
No sales thing at the end to buy anything. It's just
it truly. The whole point is just to help connect.
Yeah. It's not group therapy. It's not. I mean, it's not about going up there and you know having to process it, doing it a certain way. It's all about like
you spending time with God.
Yep, 100%.
So tell me, because almost all the men that I see in recovery who ask me, what do I do? You know, what's the first three things I do, right? Particularly if they don't have financial resources to jump into some type of program or something like that. I know one of the first things I always recommend is you have to get connected with some men in your life who can talk, like you can talk out loud about what's really going on in your life. That doesn't necessarily mean, you know, I can dump my full addiction on you, but you have to have some men who know who you really are, right? Because as we all know, addiction goes beyond just have I slipped, you know, have I viewed porn, have I done that. It's I'm not happy, I'm sad, my relationship with a spouse if I'm married, relationship with parents, relationships with, you know, what's going on with my job. And so tell me, you know, most men, right, in recovering an addiction do not have any other men that they're close to. Tough to find places where you can do that in a good way. How, you know, kind of, again, going back to your first time up here, how did you find your experience with the other men there? And was that helpful?
Absolutely. For me, just finding other guys that I could totally connect to. Some of those guys didn't, a lot of those guys didn't have addictions either. And it's just, it wasn't about the addiction at all. Like when we're up there, we don't even talk about the addiction. Like the presenters don't even talk about the addiction most of the time. I mean, they may mention something that leads to an addiction, and that's it. Yeah. That's all they talk about. But then the guys that are up there, we just kind of start talking, and you just find this weird connection with these guys that are up there. Something that I've never felt before, and I'm a friendly guy. I get along with pretty much everybody and get to know a lot of people and stuff. You get to meet these guys and get to know them more on an intimate level of things that are happening in their lives, and then I share stories about things that have happened in my life and the changes that I've gone through, especially as I continue to go to boot camp. Just being able to share different opportunities with these guys, and then we get together even outside of boot camp. We will do events and stuff like that where we're doing like movie nights. We'll have campfires, or we'll go create some adventure. Yeah, go river rafting and do some big hiking down in Zion's, or you know, just anything like that. Just creates those opportunities to create more adventure in our lives.
From an introvert's perspective, I was able to go up there, and I actually didn't really talk to a lot of people the first 2 days. I was just up there and absorbing that the message. I enjoyed some quiet time to myself to reflect, and so I didn't feel pressured to talk to people either. That was nice. I knew I could have if I wanted to, but I didn't want to, and I enjoyed the space and the freedom to just be able to be quiet, because that's what I would prefer to do. So,
well, I think that's kind of what each person gets to figure out what works for them, right? So for James, he needed some space to just kind of process some things. You know, for Chris, like right at the bat, you know, being open, talking about things, I was kind of in between. I know the second time, though, was vastly different. Because that's when I was like, you know what, I'm going to be here. And I made that choice to be there all the time because I love that connection. But being open and honest about everything and just being able to, oh, hey, we're going to connect. Let's have a good time. And just start being out there a little bit more. So everybody's a little bit different.
And I think it's because, I'll add, like, I haven't been anywhere else where I found men who were that emotionally open, for lack of a better word. You know, I found places where I've been somewhere and I'm like, oh, that guy, I can connect, you know, I've connected with that guy. But like to just have, you know, the entire group as a whole, whether it's from addiction or a different life perspective, are pretty emotionally open in a non-pressured way, like you were saying, James, where it's like meet wherever you're at. But it's, I don't think I've ever been anywhere else where I've been like that emotionally connected with other men, or had that many men available to me who were emotionally connective. And so kind of changing gears, one question I want to ask is, I know with a lot of men that I've talked to about coming up to boot camp, coming up to the retreat, a lot of times it's hard for wives to understand, right? It's hard for spouses to understand. So tell me, what has kind of been your spouse's experience around you going? Because I know like when I was first early in recovery, right, Kayla still had a lot of anger and a lot of issues with me, you know, and so I'm like, hey, you know, it's gonna cost some more money and I'm gonna be gone for 3 days, but it's supposed to be this really cool connective God thing, right? She's like, so that leaves me taking care of kids, me being in charge of everything, while you're just gone, right? So I've heard a lot on the surface that it seems kind of like the wife, right, is getting the short end of the stick. But I mean, is it she just has to take one for the team? Is that kind of the experience? Or how, you know, how's your guys' experience been when you first went and now that there's kind of been some fruits from this, you know, with your guys' wives?
At first, from my wife, she was all sorts of game for letting me go up and do that, because it was one more thing that I could, one more tool that I could find and use to be able to battle my addiction. It was one more thing that I could use to create more adventure in my life and not be so bored, and you know, and so that's why she was totally fine with it. Now that I go every time that we have boot camp, she's accepting of it, and she knows, hey, this is Chris's time that he goes, and goes to help other guys battle for their own hearts. And she's totally on board with it.
My wife is a little bit more like yours. You know, mm-hmm. she's like, hey, this is your thing, but, you know, if you really feel like this is what you got to do, go for it. You know, and I came back and, you know, started telling her about what an awesome experience it was for me and encouraged her to do the women's version of this one. And she was like, yeah, whatever. This is your thing, not mine. I just started to live my life a little differently, kind of because of the experience I'd had up there. And she started to see the difference. And so she ended up going up to the women's version and absolutely loved it. And now she is part of the volunteer staff for the women's group. And then I invited my sister up to the women's one. And now she's part of the volunteer staff up there. So it has had huge positive ripple effects in my life and in the lives of the women around me.
I mean, for me, it was a little different because I came up kind of with a kind of probably a pending divorce with everything that was going on. And although things didn't work out, it actually saved me a lot of grief and pain and heartache because it helped me to see how, you know, my ex-wife was really seeing everything that was going on in my life and my own struggles. And although things weren't quite clear and out there for everyone. But my wife now, she knows that I'm going to go, and she's really supportive of it because she knows it also helps me to kind of reconnect and get back to where I need to be. You know, I come back in a better place, kind of rejuvenated. She's now gone a couple of times to the women's retreat, and it's been really powerful for her. And, you know, she took my sister-in-law went. So, I mean, it's been a good thing for all of us. I know there's some people who struggle with that, but as men, that's kind of our goal to figure out, maybe do a little bit better at helping them mm-hmm. get to where they need to be or making sure that when we leave that we're not just saying, hey, here you go, deal with it and move on.
Sink full of dishes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe kind of saying the silent thing theme across everything that you guys shared is it is going to be beneficial for the wife or spouse, because when you change in a good way, you're going to be more connected. You're going to show up more as a husband, right? You're going to show up more as a father. So my next question for you guys is, so just kind of like from a global perspective, what is it that I should expect when I come up? Just kind of like what's the experience as a whole, right? I mean, if I've read Wild at Heart, right? It's I've lost my heart. I'm trying to get my heart back. I understand that theme. Right, it's the battle to fight, right, an adventure to live, a beauty to rescue. Not sure what orders those are supposed to be in, but those three themes. So I kind of know the themes coming up to it, but like how does kind of the event function in a global way? What are the expectations that way?
So one of the things that is talked about in the book is he says the glory of God is man fully alive. We get so wrapped up in so many parts of our life, and we get up and we either go to the gym or we don't go to the gym, or and then we just go to work, and then we come home and deal with family issues, and then the next day we get up and we go to work and come home and deal with family issues, and we do it every single day. Yeah. So it gets monotonous, and so we just have no adventure that is in our lives. This boot camp helps you figure out what makes you come alive. What really gets your gears turning, like for adventure. Some guys used to go hiking like all the time, and they used to do all this cool rock climbing and adventurous activities before they got married, and then they got married, and then they had kids, and then they don't do any of it again. So now they have anger issues, or they have, you know, disconnecting with their family and stuff like that. And so when you create these times of adventure, it allows you to have that connection with God. And so that's what we talk a lot about out there, is we allow for time. So there's time after some of the sessions where you'll have, you know, 3 to 4 hours that you'll be able to go and create the adventure that you want during the day. So you'll have there's like hiking and fishing, and depending on the time of the year, sometimes we've hiked up to peaks and snowboarded down them.
Snowshoeing.
I mean, and there's a lot of things that a lot of guys have never, ever done before that we are creating that opportunity for them, because they're like, oh, I've never gone snowshoeing and I've always wanted to do it, but I've been too busy. Or, you know, and then now we create that opportunity for them, and they're like, something alive comes in them, and they're like, this is awesome. I love this. And they're going out numerous times throughout the wintertime. They're going out doing snowshoeing, or we're getting together as a group of guys to go out and do it. And so that adventure creates some excitement in your life, because everybody wants some kind of excitement. And we may go look at it through all sorts of different avenues and stuff like that. And so when we create it through outdoor adventure or whatever it may be, it just is another way that you can connect with God and have that adventure. So,
I mean, I think, you know, just some of the other things are there. I mean, they've got, you know, archery's been up there, you know. I mean, anything you can think of to do outdoors is available. And here's the thing, just if you're not an outdoors person, this is kind of where it challenges you to, you know, as Chris was talking about adventure, to get out there, to do stuff. And sometimes it's also okay to take that time just to relax, and maybe the adventurous part of you needs to, maybe the problem is you're always adventurous and you never stop to take that time. And so maybe it's that 2 or 3 hours of just sitting there and, you know, kind of walking with God, talking with God, and seeing what's there.
For me, I'd never actually really ever shot a gun, so going up there and shooting skeet was fun, and doing some target shooting, you know, that was cool to me. I'd never done that before. So again, there's a variety of things to do that can really just open up your eyes to some new things and introduce you to some new things that you've never tried before.
And even for me, there was some reconnection. I used to paintball as a kid all the time, and I've had my gun sitting in my basement forever, right, since I was in junior high. And so when they were paintballing up there, it was like, that sounds so like nerdy, you know, that I'm like, I finally can bring my paintball guns and fulfill my childhood dreams. But honestly, it was a good experience for me, you know, to be able to do that and reconnect with that part of myself. And so, yeah, people bring up ATVs and mountain bikes, right? It's whatever. Anything else globally kind of about the event that you'd want people to know or not be worried about coming up? Food's good. I've been. Food's good.
Yeah. Food's amazing.
Food's good. There's heat. There's showers. There's flushing toilets. So, you know, I mean, it's not like you're full on roughing it in a tent. There's, you know, the bunks have mattress pads on them. Then, so
if you're not a hardcore camper, right, you're okay.
Yeah. So if you're not hardcore, you're still going to be good. You'll be taken care of.
One thing I know is there's several barriers to this, right? Like I said, most people don't do retreats with a bunch of students in the woods, right? It's not most people's religious experience, right? And I know a lot of people have never paid for something like this. So I know I've talked to men that they're like, I pay to go up there? Like, this is I pay for a thing? And I know, you know, there's kind of some concerns around that. And the one thing I always tell people when I give them a copy of Wild at Heart is, you know, if you feel anything as you read this, come up to this retreat. And I've had several men, I've given out a lot of copies of Wild at Heart, I've had several men go, that really resonated with me. And I say, then come on the retreat. If that resonated with you, the retreat's going to blow it up. So come. And then something always seems to come up. Their wife doesn't want them to go, not sure I can take work off. Hey, there was something else that was supposed to be happening on that weekend. So that seems to always happen with everyone work all the time.
Gets in the way.
Work is something gets in the way. So I found that to almost always be the experience. Is that the experience that you feel most people have? And maybe talk about that part of it.
I would say just about every single person that comes up there will have opposition either before, during, or after.
Yeah, I agree.
Actually, every person will have that before, during, yeah, or before, during, and after. But
I think everybody's a little different. Depends on when theirs comes, but I agree with Chris.
All sorts of different levels of opposition as people are preparing to come up. Like you said, there's so many things that may come up to be saying, hey, you need to stay back and take care of this thing. And part of that is because the adversary wants so bad for you not to go to this retreat in every way, shape, or form, because he knows of the change that can happen within you and the change that you can bring to yourself and the change that you can bring to others. And so he definitely wants to do everything he can to oppose you going to that retreat. So sometimes people will get flat tires, or they'll get like we had one of our speakers, his truck caught on fire right before boot camp. And so, I mean, there's ways that these things happen. And so he could look at that and say, you know what, I can't go. I'm obviously not supposed to go to this or something like that, or get in a fight with a wife or something like that. And I'm obviously not supposed to go. I got to stay home, take care of this or something like that. Well, that's the adversary coming at you in every way that he can to make it so that you don't go. And so that's why when you come up, we always will just, we actually will have our, part of our staff will make calls to everybody prior to, just to let them know, hey, you're going to have some opposition coming. Be prepared for that. And this is what you can do to prepare yourself for that. And so that way, when the boot camp comes around, you're ready to go.
I appreciate you guys, you know, being willing to kind of field the questions. And I hope if you've read Wild at Heart and it's sat with you a little bit and you've kind of had a thought of coming up to this, I hope that that's kind of sparked this into a little bit of a flame that will push you over the edge. And I'm just going to let all these guys kind of share what it's meant to them and give you their own personal invitation of, you know, why you should come up. So, James?
All right. To sum it up very briefly, I can just say that going up to boot camp changed the spiritual trajectory of my life. That anger with God is, I'm no longer angry. And it changed part of that social trajectory as well, to where I never really had any guys that I could talk to about anything, much of anything other than football or something very surface. But now I have a group of guys that I trust with my whole heart and that I feel like I could share anything with them, and they're not going to judge me or laugh at me or bring it up later to shame me with it or something down the road. But they're going to honor that, any pain I might have or whatever, and embrace that and share that. And so to me, it's meant the world to me. That's why I, you know, now volunteer and want to share this as much as I can, because I know that it changes people's lives. And so I would encourage anybody and everybody that can go to do whatever is possible to go.
Chris?
Awesome. For me, I would say it was so life-changing that I knew I needed to be a part of this message. That's why I became part of the marketing team, and then part of the prayer team, and then now part of the speaking team. And I just, it completely changed my view of myself, because I didn't know that I ever needed to battle for my own heart. It changed the view of how I needed to battle for my wife's heart and how to battle for my kid's heart. And I keep, you know, I keep one of the things that we receive from boot camp, I keep it in my pocket, because it's a daily reminder of what I need to do as I go out into the world. Hey, I need to create a venture in my life, and I need to battle for my wife and my kids and my own heart, and I need to battle for my connection with God. It's not just going to be there because I went to a boot camp, and it's something that we continuously have to work on. It's just like any relationship that we have to continuously work on it. And my kids see the change that I've made, and even my son said one time after hearing my whole story, and I said, so what'd you think? And he goes, you know, Dad, everything makes sense. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, the way you live your life, the way you do, the way you pray, the way you do, the way you act, the way you do, I get it now. And for me, that's just, that.
And you got a lot of those pieces from this.
From boot camp, yeah. And so with making those changes, and for my kids to be able to see that, and my wife to be able to see that, I am all sorts of game to invite every single person, every guy out there, because it can change your life. And I've seen it over and over again. I've seen it save marriages. I've seen it save all sorts of relationships, repair relationships with their dads and their family members and stuff. And so it's amazing. Love it.
Yeah, I've said it before, but I mean, this was a life-changing experience, and every time I go up, it's a life-changing experience, because something different always happens. You know, I know all of us that are talking here today have all been impacted by something God has said or done for us, whether we've been up there or down here, and we are all able to share that. And that's something I never grew up with, and to actually be able to have that is probably the most amazing part of my life. It's not just that I know who God is, but I actually know God and what He wants to do for me. And being at boot camp is my reconnection. It's that ability to say, you know what, I can be open, I can be humble, and I don't have to sit there and worry about whatever, you know, what someone's thinking. I am who I am. And just like Chris said, I live my life this way. And everybody who knows me and understands everything I've been through completely understands that, and they don't question that. And that's because I came up to boot camp and was able to see this and impact everything I do in my life from here on out.
So with these guys, I will just tell you, it has been a life changer for me. It was one of the most key pieces in my recovery, and even beyond that, just in my life, kind of like you said, James, it just changed the trajectory of where I was spiritually. And, you know, one thing I want to add that we didn't talk about is, this is not a new religion. This is not, wherever you are, whatever church you go to, whatever beliefs you have around God, you know, and around Christ, this is going to fit with that. There's a lot of people from some different backgrounds who have related to this message. And so I'm LDS. If you're LDS, we'll relate. I've known other people who, you know, John Eldridge isn't my same faith. There's all sorts of different faiths. And so don't let that be a stigma. And I think if I have the privilege of sitting here with you guys, right, in person, and I promise you, if you guys would have had that, the same opportunity I've had right now sitting with these men, you would go, I want to have whatever it is that they're having and describing. And you can find it here. And so the next boot camp is
November 30th, December 1st and 2nd.
So about a month and a half away. So it's a Thursday through Saturday. And then Chris was telling me if you sign up, it's $400, right? Mm-hmm. But if you sign up before the end of October,
it's $350.
It's $350. So you can save $50 by signing up now. You will get to run into, will all three of you be there this November?
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
So you could meet all of these guys in person. And the other thing I would tell you is it's worth it. And whatever is standing in your way, don't let it stand in your way. Come join us. You can find, what's the website? I'll post it here as well, but...
It's awarriorheart.com.
Awarriorheart.com. If you don't find it there, if you go to the my resources page, it's also right on my resources page. And so we hope to see you up there in November.
Awesome.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thanks. Appreciate it.